But Exodus chapter number 32, we're going to start in verse number 1. It says, "And when people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not that is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives and of your sons and of your daughters, and bring them unto me." Verse number 3 says, "And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool, and he had made it a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, Tomorrow is a feast unto the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offering and brought peace offering. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go, get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves." Let's pray. Lord, we sure thank you for a great week. God, today is the very last day, God, Wednesday. God, I want to thank you for meeting with us each and every service. God, thank you for the wonderful songs that have been sung that have spoken to hearts. God, I pray for today, God, that you would continue to do a work. God, that you continue to speak. God, I pray that you would use these few minutes to this morning, that God, you would just touch hearts. We sure need you and love you. Bless. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Here is, you probably know this story. It's talking about Moses, and they've just come out of Egypt, and God calls for Moses to go up to Mount Sinai, and so they can spend some time, God can spend some time with Moses, instructing him on how to lead the people, how to lead his people, the children of Israel, and gives him the Ten Commandments. And we're going to look at that. We're going to back up here in just a few minutes. But I want to talk about first about church camp, or if you will, the activities, the atmosphere we've had this week. This has kind of replaced church camp. Y'all didn't get to go to church camp this year due to everything that's going on. So this kind of replaced it, and it's been the camp atmosphere. This would have been what camp would have been like, maybe in a nutshell, with all the games and the good singing and the preaching. The morning services would have been kind of like camp. And this morning I want to preach on this thought: I'm home from camp. I'm home from camp. I want to talk about that this morning. I grew up going to church camp. I went to camp for the first time when I think I was probably 6 or 7 years old. And I've only missed 1 year from the time I started. And this year would have been, I think, my 10th or 11th summer going to church camp. I love church camp. I love all the games that they play. I love some of the rough ones like sumo ball, you know, where you get to hit people. At the church camp that we go to, we play a game called tube tug, and there's about 6 or 8 huge inner tubes sitting in the middle of the field, and everybody's divided up on their own teams, and at the same time, everybody runs, and you just pile drive each other in the middle of the field and try to drag your tube back to your side. We play a game called, it's in Arkansas, so we call it the Hillbilly Hustle, and there's many things. You have to drink a can of Coke, and you have to put your head on a bat and spin around in a circle, and one guy has to go jump in the pond and come back. It's a huge deal. And everything about camp, I love it. I love the spirit of the congregational singing. When you have a couple hundred, or maybe 20, 25 of us in here, and we all sing praises to God. And I just love the atmosphere. I love getting to sit around the Word of God and hear somebody pour out their heart. And there's really nothing like camp. If you've never been to church camp, there's something about it. There's something about the atmosphere that you experience that, man, you can feel the Spirit of God working. You just know it's good. There's something about it. There's something about the atmosphere. And I love everything about camp. The games, the singing, the preaching, the activities. You get to socialize and meet people. Everything about camp is wonderful. And that's what we're doing this week. These last few mornings, we've had our own, if you will, miniature church camp. And it's been great. I've loved every minute of it. But today, if you will, church camp's over. And for going to camp the last 10, 11 years, whatever it may have been, I know all about going to camp, and I know about playing the games and hearing the preaching, but I also know what it's like to go home from camp. And tomorrow when you wake up, you'll be home, if you will. I know we didn't leave. I know we didn't go anywhere. But tomorrow, the routine that we've established the last 3 days will be over. The routine that we've set and coming to Valley Avenue Baptist Church and singing songs and playing fun games and hearing preaching, it'll be over and you'll be home. And I want to preach on that thought this morning. I'm home from camp. If you will, you don't have to turn there, but I'm going to read a few passages to you here for just a second. In chapter number 24, Exodus chapter 24, we rewind just a little bit. And here God comes to Moses and says, Moses, I want you to come up to Mount Sinai. I've got some instruction I need to give to you. And so here God tells Moses to do that. And so Moses is relaying the message. In verse number 1 it says, and he said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and 70 of the elders of Israel. So come up the priest, Aaron and Nadab and Abihu, and then 70 elders in Israel, 70 leaders among the people come up. But then he says for Moses to come on up and for those to stay back and worship a little further back, a little bit further from God. And Moses is supposed to go up and meet God. And so Moses begins to relay this message to all the people. In verse number 3, it says, and Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice. Everybody said the same thing. They were all in one agreement, and they said this, all the words which the Lord has said, we will do. Whatever it is that God commands us, we're going to do it. Whether we like it, whether we don't, whether it's easy, whether it's hard, it doesn't matter. Whatever God commands us to do, we're going to do it. Not only do they say it one time, but they say it again. Look at verse number 7. And he says, and he took the book of the covenant and read it in the audience. That's Moses speaking, or Moses talking there. Audience of the people, and they said it again. All that the Lord has said, we will do, and be obedient. So here's Moses, and God comes to Moses and says, Moses, I need you to come up to Mount Sinai. I got some instruction I need to give to you. And he said, and he begins to tell the people, said, I got to get some instruction for God so I know how to be the leader of this huge company, all of these millions of people. And they say, Moses, whatever God tells you to do, we're going to do it. Whether we like it, whether we don't, hard, easy, we're going to do it. But then Moses goes up into the mountain and spends time with God. And the next, I believe it is 5 or 6 chapters, is God communing with Moses. God spending time communing with Moses, giving him this instruction. But then we pick it up our text in chapter number 32, and what do we find? Then in chapter 24, they said, God, whatever you tell us to do, whatever you put on our heart, we're going to do it. But then in chapter 32, the very first verse says, and when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down the mount, come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods. How drastically they went from saying, God, whatever you command us to do, whatever you ask us to do, we're going to be obedient to that. We're going to do it to the fullest potential, to a few chapters later saying, up, make us a god. Make us a false god. We're no longer going to serve the true and living God that brought us out of Egypt. Up, make us a god. Build us a god. And we can be here this morning, and I've went to church camp time after time, and I thoroughly enjoy it, love every bit of it. And we hear preaching, and God says, I want you to do this. I want you to do this. I'm going to give you instruction about doing this. I want you to be better at getting up and spending time in the Word of God. I want you to be better about spending some time every day in prayer with me. And it doesn't matter how old or how young. If you can read, if you are a saved Christian, God expects you to spend time in His Word, and He expects you to communicate with Him in prayer. And maybe you go to camp, and maybe this week God spoke to your heart about that, saying, you haven't been reading your Bible like you need to be reading your Bible. You haven't been spending time in prayer that you need to spend your time in prayer. You haven't been handing out those gospel tracts at school or at the park down the road or whatever it may be. Maybe God spoke to your heart and said, you've been having a bad attitude toward mom and dad. God, maybe God spoke to your heart about whatever it may have been. You know I don't. It's between you and God. It doesn't matter if I know. But God spoke to your heart. I believe He spoke to every individual's heart this week that's been here. And He put something on your heart, and I know He did. And maybe some of you came to the altar and said, God, I want to do that. God, I want to live that out. Just like the children of Israel said, God, whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do it. I'm going to, whether it's easy, whether it's hard, I just said that. I'm going to do it. But so many times we come back from camp, we're home from camp. And how many times are those things that we told God at the altar, God, I'm going to do that, somehow fade off in the distance. And we, in our lives, are just like chapter 32 and say, up, make us gods. How many times those things we came to the altar and said, God, help me to do this. Help me to live for you. Help me to, whatever it was that God put on your heart, help me to fulfill that. But so many times, after a short period of time, they get tossed to the wayside and we don't even remember what they were. How many times it is that we don't follow through with what we told God we were going to do? So for a few minutes, I won't be long this morning. For a few minutes, I want to talk about that. I'm home from camp. Number one, I want you to notice the dispensation of time. It was, the dispensation simply means an amount. So the amount of time that was from the time Moses went up into the mountain until the time Moses came down from the mountain. Back in chapter 24, the very last verse, it says, and Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up in the mountain. And Moses was in the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. In just a little over a month, 40 days, months around 30 days, 30, 31, February is 28, around 30 days is a month, and a little bit over a month, a little bit over a month, they had went from saying, God, we'll do whatever you ask us to do. We'll go wherever you want us to go. Well, God, I want to fulfill whatever you put on my heart. But then a little over a month, how drastic that changed. And it doesn't take long for you and I to get home from camp, get home from the routine of camp and the atmosphere of camp that we say, yeah, I'll do that later. I got other stuff I need to do. I'm going to go play with my friends, or I'm going to play video games, or I'm going to go outside and shoot hoops, or, and your priorities change. And it doesn't take a real long time. It wasn't that it took them a years to forget what they just said. It only took them a little over a month, only 40 days. So this morning, let me ask you, 40 days from now, are you going to remember what you came to the altar and told God yesterday? 40 days from now, are you going to remember that you came to the altar and said, God, I've been reading my Bible like I ought to be reading my Bible. I haven't been spending that time in prayer like I ought to be. Or are you going to say, up, make us gods. Your God may be a sport. Your God may be an entertainment. Your God may be whatever. Will you remember what you told God in a little over a month? I challenge you to remember, don't let it fall to the wayside in just a few short days. Don't let this, that we put the Valley Avenue Baptist Church, the people downstairs cooking the food, to put so much work into so you could enjoy this, to throw it away in a few days. Right. Yeah. All the time Brother Chad has spent back there in the sound booth creating the slides so we could sing the songs, for you to throw it away in a few short days. All the prayers that have been put in to this, leading up to it, and during the hours probably that have been spent in prayer, so that God would touch your heart and you just throw it away in a few short days. Don't let it be said in a little over a month that all this was in vain. Don't be like the children and say, up, make us gods. But remember and say, God, I'm going to do my best. Remember what you put on my heart. And fulfill those things. Remember, when we see the dispensation of time, the amount of time that was between how Moses went up and the time he came back down. Then number two, I want you to notice the disappointing people. How sad it was that after all God had did for the children of Israel, he told Abraham, I'll make a great seed of you. He said, I'll take you, Abraham, and I'll raise up a people and call them my people, the chosen people of God. And the Christian today is the chosen people of God. Amen. God has chosen us. He has grafted us in to the family of God, to His chosen people. And how gracious He's been to us that we could be born in America. That you could be sitting in a church this morning, and many of you have Bibles. How privileged we are. But here they were, and forgot everything that God had done. He parted the Red Sea as they came out of Egypt. What a miracle. As they got a little further, the waters were bitter. They couldn't drink the waters, and God told Moses to cut down a branch and put it in the water. And the water became sweet. And another miracle. And maybe when the first time that Moses went and smote the rock again, and water came gushing out so they could drink. And we are so privileged and so blessed. And God deserves so much praise from us. He deserves so much from us because He's been so good to us. But though, you throw it away. The disappointing people. How disappointing it was that after all God did for them, they simply threw it away. We see, number one, the dispensation of time. Number two, the disappointing people. Then I want you to notice that very sad reality that I believe many of us fall in. Look at verse number 7. Verse number 7 says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Go, get thee down, for thy people which have brought thee, thou hast brought us out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves." And people sometimes say, man, the devil's just been really fighting me or really working on me. And sometimes there is satanic oppression that does influence people. But I highly doubt that the devil himself has ever tempted you and I. I don't believe that he probably has he's tempting somebody, somebody that truly loves him and truly serves him and is truly sold out for him. But you and I don't know that we've ever encountered the devil. But I do believe that there is satanic oppression and attacks on the Christian. But here, it wasn't Satan was messing with them. It says they have corrupted themselves. And many times we make conscious choices to get away from God. It's not that the devil's really fighting us. It's not that satanic oppression is upon us. It's not anything like that. It's mainly because we corrupt ourselves. We dabble in this and we dabble in that. And we don't pay attention during church and we're talking and messing around. In Sunday school, we have corrupted ourselves. What a sad truth that many times it's our own fault that we're away from God. It's our own fault. The sad reality is that they corrupted themselves. Let me say this. If you come back from camp, I know we never left. I keep saying that, but I know we didn't leave. But when you get home from camp, if you will, if you get home from what we've been doing the last few days, if this is really deep, I don't know if you can get this. If nothing changes, nothing changes. If you don't change something in your life, then nothing's going to change in your life. If you're not the one that makes the change, then nothing changes in your life. If you don't make a conscious decision, a change, say, I will get up and read the Word of God. If you don't make that change in your schedule, then there will be the godly change of you reading your Bible won't happen. If you don't make a change, there will be no change. Then number 4, I want you to notice the things they destroyed. And this week we come back from camp, and there may need to be some things in your life that you destroy. Aaron had just built this golden calf. And then look in verse number 19. It says, "And it came to pass as soon as he came nigh unto the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot. And he cast the tablets out of his hand and brake them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made and burned it in the fire and ground it into powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel to drink it." I love that part. I love where they had to drink their God. It's humorous to me. I just enjoy that part. But notice that Moses destroyed some things. He took that out of the way. He eliminated that. And there may need to be some things in your life that you destroy after camp. You may need to destroy that bad attitude that you have. You may need to destroy the excuses of why you can't read your Bible. I'm just not a good reader. Well, I just don't have time. Well, what is your excuse? Destroy the excuses in your life. You say, I don't have time to read my Bible. Get up earlier. You say, I don't have a place that's quiet. Leave the room where everybody else is at. See, we come up with so many excuses, but never seek for answers. Because it's easier just to put it off and not do it. They destroyed some things in life. What is it this week that you need to say, I'm not doing this anymore? With the help of God, I'm putting my foot down and saying, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to backtalk mom and dad anymore. I'm not going to backtalk grandma and grandpa anymore. I'm not going to do some things, they're going to be destroyed in my life. Maybe it's your cell phone. I don't know how many of us in here have a cell phone. Maybe it's your cell phone. Maybe you spend too much time on Instagram or on Facebook. Maybe you need to destroy some of that time and use it to serve God. Nothing changes, nothing changes. Number five, notice the deception. Notice the deception. So we read earlier that Aaron said, break off your golden earrings from your sons and your daughters and your wives and bring them to me. And it says, and Aaron, he engrafted, I believe that's the word that he uses back in earlier in the chapter. Verse number 3 says, and all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron, and he received them. Oh, it says fashioned. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with the graving tool. But then we see later in the chapter, verse number 21, where Moses is talking to Aaron, and Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people unto thee, that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people, that they are set on mischief. For they said unto me, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what had become of him. And then this is Aaron speaking. He said, and I said unto them, whatsoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it to me, and I cast in the fire, and there came out this calf. But that's not how it happened at all. You see, Aaron said, I just threw this gold in the fire, and out popped the calf. But the true story is, he said, break off the gold, bring it to me, and he fashioned. You know what the word fashion means? When you fashion something, you have to spend some time on it. You don't just throw it together. Like that stool I had, that was not fashioned. That was, I threw that together before I left to come to up here to Nebraska, to Valley Avenue Baptist Church. I threw that together. But the word fashion, I mean, he spent some time on it. He made sure it was just right. He made it perfect. But notice the deception that he led Moses to believe. And you and I can fool ourselves. We can try to fool ourselves, let's put it that way. And we lie to ourselves and say, you know, I'm a pretty good person. You know, I don't deserve to go to hell. You know, if I skip one day of Bible reading, I'll probably be okay. I'll make it up tomorrow. You know, if I back talk mom and dad, they just don't understand. They just don't understand. If I do it just this one time, it'll be okay. And we deceive ourselves into thinking that it's okay for us to go against God, because that's our sinful nature. And when we go against God, there's punishment. I've said it all week. When you go against God, when you sin, there's always punishment. Oh, it'll be okay this time. Let's not tell anybody. And we deceive ourselves. We try to deceive ourselves. We deceive those around us, thinking, I've got it all put together. I'm doing pretty good. But there was deception, and they noticed the punishment. I wonder how Aaron felt as he stood there, knowing he had just lied to Moses. Notice what happens to the people. Look at verse number 26. It says, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me, and all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. And when we go against God and we sin, there's always punishment. And these people set up, make us a god. So Aaron did. Shouldn't have, but he did. Then Aaron deceived Moses and lied to Moses. And I wonder how he felt as he stood there responsible for the death of 3,000 people. He stood there as it was his fault. He's the one that fashioned the golden image. It was in their heart, yes. But he's the one that allowed, he could have said, hey, I'm not going to do that. God's up there talking to Moses. He'll be back in just a short time with instruction. He could have rebuked him and said, no. As a matter of fact, Moses left him and Joshua in charge. And said, no, we're not going to do that. Well, that's not happening. But But no, he said, bring me your gold, begin to fashion. And he was ultimately responsible for the death of 3,000. And this morning, your decisions that you make affect somebody else. Those 3,000 that died, whether men or women, maybe it was men, they left their wives. Those wives that were married to these men are now widows. And these children that are still alive no longer have a father. And the decision that they made that was in their heart affected somebody else. And the decision that you make about your decision, about belief in God, about salvation, about whether you're going to serve God or live for God or live for you, affects somebody else. The decision whether you're going to obey mom and dad or not affects somebody else. You've got younger siblings watching you backtalk mom and dad and think, well, if they can do it, then I can do it. If they can get away with it, then I can get away with it. And they were responsible. Aaron was responsible for the death of 3,000. And your actions do affect somebody else. We've seen the deceased, but then notice number 7, we'll be done. Number 7, the dedication. Moses comes in verse number 29 and says, Sir Moses had said, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord. Every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. Moses said, consecrate yourselves to the Lord, or dedicate yourself to the Lord. Make a decision that from this day forward, as to camp is over this morning, camp is over today. We're going back home, if you will. And you have to make a decision. You have to make a choice. We talked about that this week. A choice, a decision. I'm going to do what He's asked. What He's put on my heart this week, I'm, to the best of my ability, with God's help, I'm going to do that. And I want to give you some really practical things that will help you keep the decisions you've made this week. First of all, notice what it says there in verse number 29. For Moses had said, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord. First of all, ask God to help you. Ask God to help you to keep the decision you told Him you would keep. You can't do it in the arm of the flesh. You cannot serve God in the flesh. You cannot keep a commandment. You cannot obey your parents. You cannot read your Bible. You cannot live the Christian life in the flesh. So if you'll just ask God to help you do right, He'll will. He'll do it. Number one, ask God. Number two, keep reading in the verse, consecrate yourself to the Lord. Even every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow on you a blessing. Even every man upon his son and upon his brother. Ask somebody to keep you accountable. Ask somebody to say, this week, God put to my heart and said, you haven't been reading your Bible. Hey, when I see you at church, would you ask me, hey, have you been reading your Bible? Maybe it's you have a problem with back talking mom and dad. When we see each other at church or at the park, would you ask me, hey, how's your relationship with mom and dad going? And maybe if you have a phone, you can shoot each other a text today and say, I read this chapter and these verses or these chapters of this book. To keep yourselves accountable to your sons and to your brothers. And when you have somebody that you know is going to be checking on you to make sure you've done right, a lot of times it helps us to do right. We don't want to disappoint God. First of all, we don't also want to disappoint that person that's checking in on us. First of all, ask God to help you. Second of all, ask somebody to keep you accountable. And then number three, and we'll be done. Get you a notebook. Get you a notebook and say, this week, God asked me to do this, and write it down. On Monday night, God pricked my heart and said, you need to be doing this, and write it down. On Tuesday morning, God told me I need to do this, and write it down. Because if we're not careful, in a little over a month, we've forgotten what God told us to do. But if we write it down, kind of like the Ten Commandments, God wrote them down, children of Israel say, would know what God wanted to do. And if you write down, and I write down, what we know God put on our hearts to do, we won't forget it. Ask God to help you to do it. Ask somebody to keep you accountable, and then write those things down. This week, did God put something on your heart and say, I haven't been doing what I need to be doing? Camp is over. in just a little over 2 hours. And a little over 2 hours, we're going home from camp. But in 40 days, a little over a month, you remember what God spoke to your heart about? Will you remember the things He put on your heart? If nothing changes, nothing changes. So let me ask you, young person. Let me ask you, Christian. Do you need to change some things? Ask God to help you. Ask somebody to keep you accountable. Get your notebook and write down what God put on your heart. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Pastor, would you come?
Let's do this. Brother Chad's in the sound booth, and he's going to play some music for invitation. And so what I want to encourage you to do is to respond as God has touched your heart. Now, I know there's some small kids in here, and you find it challenging to listen really well. And that's completely understandable, and nobody's upset about that. But I feel that there's probably some older kids in here. And you've been listening, and God is trying to break through to your heart. And I want to encourage you that there is not a better time for you. There is not a better time for you to get right with God than right now. There's not a better time. You say, preacher, I don't know for sure if I'm saved. I don't know for sure if I was to die today, if I would go to heaven or not. But I'll tell you this, I want to go to heaven, and I want to make sure that it's settled. And God has touched my heart. Now, that's an important part of my question this morning. I'll pray for you, but I want you to raise your hand if you say, preacher, I don't know for sure if I'm going to heaven, and God spoke to my heart about it this morning. Would you raise your hand? I'll pray for you. I don't know for sure if I'm going to go to heaven or not. God spoke to my heart. Thank you. You can put your hand down, and you, nobody's peeking. Thank you. You can put your hand down. Anyone else? Preacher, I should have raised my hand. God spoke to my heart this morning. I don't know for sure I'm saved. Anybody else? Okay. Well, maybe you're here this morning and you need to make some changes. You need to make some change. You need to get some accountability. You need to write some things down. You need to change some discipline, or rather, you need to add some discipline, change some of the things you do, because it's not good for you and you know it. And if that's you this morning, would you raise your hand? I'll pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Hands around. You can put your hands down. Anyone else? Preacher, I need to make some changes. I've got some bad things that I'm really kind of involved with, and I need some help, and I want to ask you if you'd pray for me about that. You didn't raise your hand, but you should have. Preacher, will you pray for me? Anyone else? Okay. Well, now's your opportunity to respond to God. Let's stand together. I'll pray. Let's all stand. Brother Chad's going to play music. Father, we pray for the invitation. We do pray for those that lifted their hand. Give them courage to take a step for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The invitation. couple comments, a couple of announcements, and we'll have prayer for lunch. We have a great meal that we have planned today. And then after that, we have some great activities. But I want to say one thing about the message, and I want everybody's attention while I say this. Please, it's going to be a real help for me to know that you're getting it when you're looking at me. And so look up here, and let me say this to you. And this is our last morning time. Tonight we'll have services, but I won't be able to address all of you kids like this again for maybe a long time. And so this is a great... Some of you, I don't get to see you that often. And I'm proud of you for being here. I really am. Very proud of you. I want this to be a step in the direction of moving more towards being in church and being in a position where you're going to start hearing more about the things of God. And now let me say this, and then I'll move on to a few announcements. Give me your attention. There is nothing, there is nothing, there is nothing like surrender to God. There is nothing, nothing, nothing in this world. There's nothing that this world offers you that can touch the blessed, the blessings of surrender to God. Now, here's what you can learn. You can learn that the, look, boys, you can learn that the easy way, or you can learn that the hard way. But there is nothing, nothing, nothing in this world that's like surrender to God. Amen? Amen. And so let me challenge you. Listen to the things of God. You say, well, you know, it's kind of, you know, church and, you know, and I don't know if God is better than the world, or if the things out there in the world are better than the things of God. I'm here to tell you, there's nothing in this world that even touches what it's like to be surrendered to God. Nothing in this world. And any adult or any young person who is surrendered to God can should say amen to that. Amen. Amen? Amen. Nothing like it. So you listen for God and you surrender to Him, and you'll find that blessing too. Amen. In here. All right, so a couple of announcements. We are going to have lunch. And so downstairs, it's already all prepared. We just go down there in line. We'll let the ladies go first. And we will be eating, you know, grilled cheese sandwiches and french fries. If you had raised your hand for ham, then you're going to get ham on your sandwich. If you didn't raise your hand, then you're not going to get ham in your sandwich. So don't say, well, I raised my hand, if you didn't, because that's being dishonest. Don't do that. And it's great food. We're going to have a great time. And there's a couple of things I want to encourage you. After you're done eating, boys, let's stay out of the upstairs. There's no supervision up there. And so let's stay off the upstairs, that second floor of the Sunday school wing. Don't go in the room. Don't go up there. Don't run up and down the hall. Let's stay down here. You can come in here, but don't run around in here. And let's try adults to keep an eye on supervising the kids. Kids, do not go outside until it's game time. We're going to have water war today. So the pool has got the water balloons in it. And that's not going to be the first thing we're going to do. We're going to play some relay games where we toss water balloons back and forth. We're going to do some bucket with water in it, some relay games like that. And then we're going to have water war. And then we're going to play to kind of close things out. We're going to play capture the flag using water. And it's going to be a blast. Before we go outside prepared for the water war, we're going to meet back in here and have some instructions, some final instructions, and we're going to get out there and play and just have a total great time. So I think that's all that I have. We're going to have a time of prayer and ask God to bless the food, and we'll let you ladies go downstairs first. Yes. Oh, yes. And I always do that every single day. No, we're not going to give the toys on the table away yet. And I think what we should do also is on the big toys, the 9 prizes, let's wait on that till after Water War. And here's why. Because we need to be watching attitude in here, but we need to be watching attitude out there. Okay? And so we're going to be giving points away throughout the rest of the afternoon. So the team, color team that wins, like whoever's first place, you get to choose 2 toys off the table first, and then last place, you get to choose last. But we're going to be watching for attitudes for the 9 prizes we're going to go give away on the main ledge. Thank you for that. Adults, keep your eyes open for those 9 kids that we're going to be watching for, okay? All right, let's have prayer for the food. Lord, we thank you for your grace, your blessings. What a message we've again heard. And Lord, I know, and the kids know, we haven't been at camp, but it has been a camp atmosphere. And we are, Lord, seeing you do and work in many of the same ways you work at camp. And so, Lord, as you've touched us and you've softened our hearts, and we've been so happy and excited to hear from you, Lord, we don't want to be like the children of Israel who 40 days later were worshiping a calf. God, we don't want to worship the things of this world. We want to surrender to you. And so I pray for the kids that you'd help them to make that decision, understanding that it's true because you said so. And it's worthy of something to be tested. God, we can trust you. So I pray your blessings on the kids, that they would make wise decisions. Bless the food. Bless our activities. Give us a great rest of today. In Jesus' name, amen.